26, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and everything that creep and everything that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about foundations of the family. Foundations of the family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house to worship you and to honor you. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray that your word will be life to us and strength to us. Father, I thank you for the moving of your spirit, for the manifestation of miracles that have already taken place. But Father, we separate ourselves for the next few minutes for some time in your word, for some time before you in your presence. We ask you to speak to us through your word today, to challenge us, to change us, to encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A man noticed some cracks in his wall. He had a friend who was a painter, and he called the friend. The friend came over and patched his wall and painted his wall, and everything looked good. A few months passed, and the cracks were back. He called his friend back. He said, "Those cracks are back." Friend came over and patched it again and painted his wall. A few months later, the cracks were back, and he called the painter, and the painter came over, and he patched the cracks, but he said, "Let me tell you something. I don't think you have a problem with cracks in your wall." He said, "Because I've came three times. I don't think that's your problem." He says, "Look at my wall. Of course that's my problem. I've got cracks in my wall." He says, "No, that's not your problem. You have a shifting foundation that's causing your problem." The foundation of our society and the foundation of our world is the family. The family unit was created by God before He created the church. God instituted and created the family. The family is to reflect the glory of God and the kingdom of God. It's not the church's responsibility to do that. It's the family's responsibility to do that. Satan in the Garden of Eden robbed the family. And through original sin, he robbed the family of the glory of God. He robbed the family of the reflection of the kingdom of God. But thank God Jesus Christ came while we were yet sinners and died for us. And when Jesus died for us and he rose again, he purchased back and he redeemed us, giving us back the power as a family to reflect the glory and the power and the image of God. I'm thankful that we have that opportunity as a family. I want to tell you, every husband in this house who is a believer should lead in prayer. I'm not talking about you should call the family together, although you should. And you should make the family pray at a certain time, although you should. Men, you should lead in prayer. You should be the prayer leader in your home. You should lead in prayer by praying more than anybody else in your home. When I talk about leading in prayer, men, I'm talking about prayer ought to be something that is like breathing to you. It's something that is a part of the fabric of your life. And instead of carrying the weight of the world for providing for your family all by yourself, when you get up to go to your job, you should be praying about God's provision in your life, recognizing that God is your source. Everything else He gives you, men, is just a resource. Everything you got's a resource. God's your source. He's the one that provides absolutely everything to you. So men, we should lead in prayer in our homes. We've got to recognize something. Recognize that God's purpose for the family is to reflect the kingdom of God. God's purpose for the family is to reflect the kingdom of God. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 30, the verses right after our text, the Bible says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'See, I've given you herbs that yield seed on the face of the earth, and every tree that yields fruit and seed to you that shall be your food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food,' and it was so." You see, here's what God was saying. He was saying, "I give you dominion. My agenda for the family is to give you dominion over this earth." Now, when original sin came, came in, that messed everything up. But thank God for Jesus Christ, because He redeems us from that sin and that law of death and sin. He redeems us from all of those things, and we are given dominion once again, and the family is to reflect the glory of God and is to reflect the kingdom of God. If you want a revival in your nation, it does not start in your local church. A revival starts at your address. It starts at your home. It starts in your prayer time. It starts in your life. It doesn't start here. Don't wait on God to pour something out on you that you're not willing to do yourself, friend. Revival starts in your home. Our society has a problem. Our society and the culture that we live in seeks individual happiness and personal fulfillment. Can I tell you that's crept into the church? The family is no longer, in many cases, the image of the kingdom of God at work. In fact, many of our families within the church have bought into the concept of our society that happiness and that personal fulfillment trumps God. Can I tell you, your happiness and your personal fulfillment in life doesn't trump God at all. In fact, humanism that has crept into the church is probably one of the most detrimental things to our church and to serving God and to revival. A humanistic approach to life that doesn't reflect any morality. It just, whatever you want and whatever makes you happy, just go ahead and do that. Our culture's bought into that. And many within the church have bought into the idea that as long as I'm happy, everything's okay. Can I tell you something? Being happy doesn't have a whole lot to do with serving God. Being happy doesn't have a whole lot to do with having a revival in the presence of a holy God. God can give you something better than happiness that humanism brings. God can bring joy that goes much deeper and isn't based on happenings. God can bring joy in your life, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. When a revival comes to your address, when a move of the presence of God comes to your home, you can have joy that trumps happiness. It trumps self-fulfillment, folks. And because of this, morals are now defined even within the church by society. People are making their own way, it seems. The family doesn't always mirror and reflect the kingdom or the image of God. Our families should do that. When people see our families, people should see the hand of God working. They should see the glory of God working. They should see the balance of heaven working in my life. When I say the balance of heaven, I want you to notice something. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's balance in heaven. There's unity in heaven. There's order in heaven. We've preached it. We don't have to preach all that again, do we? We preached this a little while ago. There's order in heaven. There's unity in heaven. So when people see my family or they see your family, they should see the order of the kingdom of God at work in my life. The order of the kingdom of God at work in my life. You have God the Father. You have God the Son. You have God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit nurtures. The Holy Spirit is a spiritual mother, if you will, in the triune God. The Holy Spirit nurtures and does the role that a mom does in the family, bringing perfect unity to the family of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that nurturing aspect of the family has to be there. But the nurturing aspect of the family can't be there without the Father being the Father. And without the Son being the Son. That order comes when people as believers follow after God with passion and recognize that they cannot get the fulfillment they need from this world. They get the fulfillment they need from serving God. Dads, let me tell you something. Let me simplify it. Don't seek fulfillment in this world to keep you. Seek fulfillment in God. Moms, let me tell you something. Don't seek fulfillment in this world to give you something. Seek fulfillment in God. Children, let me tell you something. Don't seek fulfillment in this world to bring revival or a move of God in your life. Seek fulfillment in God, and revival comes to your household. Revival comes to your address. Revival comes to your family. You don't have to wait to get to church to pray, because you pray at home. You don't have to call the preacher to pray somebody through, because you're used to praying in your own home. You don't have to seek out a prayer warrior at another address, because you got a prayer warrior in your house. You don't have to wait for communion at the local church. You take communion at your house. You don't have to wait on somebody to lay hands on you. Somebody's going to lay hands on you at home. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about genuinely practicing the Word of God and the kingdom of God in real life in my home. Let me tell you something. If you don't do it, your children know it. If you don't do it, your grandchildren know it. And when you seek fulfillment in other places other than God, everybody knows it. I had an older man tell me one time, he said, some folks think they're fooling the other people. They come to church, they go through the motions, they have religion, they got a bunch of it. They dress the part, they look the part, they've been here a long time, but they don't have any fruit in their life that says they're a Christian. I thought about that one time. He said, you know what? You can't fool everybody, and you sure don't fool God. My goodness, there's truth behind that. You can't fool everybody, and you certainly don't fool God, because if I don't find fulfillment as a father and a husband in God, I'll look for it somewhere else. Women, if you don't find fulfillment in God, you're going to look for it somewhere else. Children, if you don't find fulfillment in God, you're going to look for it somewhere else. Have the real thing and recognize that it is God's desire to show forth the kingdom of God through our family. Secondly, there's only three. Believe that God wants to display His triune image through your family. I've already touched on this. God wants to display the unity of the Godhead through your family. He wants to display God at work in your life. Hallelujah. When we look at this verse of Scripture, we see in verses 26 and 27, we see the unity there. We read it in your text. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Do you see how God intricately wanted to create man in the image of Himself and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you see how He wanted to bring into unity from the very beginning with mankind general, mankind specific as well? God wanted to bring man into unity with who? With Him. Let us make man in our image. Let us make man to have relationship with us. Let us make man to know us. Do you see what I'm talking about? Let us make man to be like us. Are you hearing me? Let us make man to walk in unity with us. Can I tell you something? The family was made and created by God, instituted long before the church was ever thought of, to walk in harmony with God, created by God. You may say, my family's a wreck. My family dysfunctional. Husbands, wives, you don't even talk to each other. Husband, wives, you got buried hatches from years ago that you bring up every now and then. Listen to me. Can I tell you that's not God's desire for you to carry the hurt and pain of the past around? No, God's desire is for you as a husband and wife to walk in unity with God. God created each of you. God desires for you to walk in unity. That's where you're going to find fulfillment and joy in life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Can I tell you something? Husbands, wives, you need to affair-proof your marriage. Yes. Is it all right if I get real with you for a minute? Oh, we don't want to talk about that. No, you better affair-proof your marriage. How do you do it? Both of you walk in unity together with God. You've affair-proofed your marriage. You walk in the unity. Husbands, when you walk in unity with God, your wife will follow you. I promise you that. Husbands, if you'll walk in unity and faith with God, your wife will follow you. That's the way God created this thing to work. God didn't create her to lead. God created you to lead. Is it all right? Oh, we like to put our foot down on some things and we like to quote some scriptures. Can I tell you something? When men, when we get up off of our spiritual seat of do-nothing and become the men of God God has created us to be and walk in spiritual unity with God, our wives will follow us. That's how God created. That is the order of God for the church and for the family. That's how God created it all. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some nuts that are harder to crack than others. But men, if you'll be faithful to your God, if you'll be faithful to serving Him, God will come through and He will help you. And there will be somebody that comes alongside you. Your spouse will come alongside you. And you'll walk in unity together. You'll affair-proof your marriage. Unless you do that, you're opening yourself up. The only way in our society, in our culture, where anything goes and everything's acceptable. Are you listening to me? You know we live in that world, right? In our world, anything goes and everything's acceptable and you can justify almost anything. It's the only way to fear-proof your marriage. We recognize that when God created the heavens and the earth, He is described by the writer of Genesis as Elohim. We've taught this recently. Elohim means He is a creative God. Hallelujah, He's a creative God. In Genesis 1 and 1, we see Him as a creative God, and that's in the beginning, that's essential. But when God creates Adam and Eve, God takes on a new aspect. When it was just Adam, he was still just creative. But when he creates the family, he takes on a new role. I want to submit to you that Adam and God were okay at the moment, till God saw a need that was there. The first crisis in the Word of God is what? It's not good for man to be alone. Now, I don't know how God diagnosed that, but God diagnosed it as the first crisis in the Bible. The first intervention of God after creation was the fact that it wasn't good that Adam be alone. Here is the Creator. He has created all things. But here's the thing. When God creates Eve out of the side of Adam, God identifies himself differently. For now, he is not just Elohim, the Creator. He is also Yahweh. We see for the first time the terminology of the Lord God. Read it for yourself. Genesis chapter 2. So now he is not just the Creator, he is the Lord God. Why was it necessary for him to go from simply being a Creator, God, Elohim, to being Yahweh, Lord, the Lord God? Because he had instituted the family. It's important that Jesus be more than a fire escape keeping you from going to hell. It's important that Jesus be more than just God to you, God the Son. It's important that you have Him as the Lord of your life. Amen. Maybe you don't know what I'm preaching today. Let me shuck this corn for you a little bit. When you just believe in God, you believe there's a Creator, and He created you, and there's a real heaven, and there's a real hell. And most people go to church with that mentality. Right. There is a God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I want to avoid hell, therefore I go to church. Let me tell you, churches are filled every Sunday morning with that mentality, and that's as deep as some mentality gets. Can I tell you, I hate to say this, but more than likely in the 80 or 79 or whatever we have here this morning, it's on the at the church right now in this building, there's some in this house, I hate to say it, that are here for that reason. There is a God, there's a heaven, there's a hell. I don't want to go to hell, so I go to church. You just know Him as Creator. You just know Him as a Creator, and you're trying to get in somehow. You've had some religious experience at some point that says you're okay. Can I tell you something? Until you know Him as Lord, you're not okay. Is it all right if I just tell you the truth? There's 4.3 million people in the United States, according to a survey in 2008, 4.3 million people say they're Christians in the U.S. Did you realize? That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. Second is Jews. There's almost 2 million Jews in the U.S. You didn't think they'd be second, did you? Judaism ranks second. Islam ranks third. 1.3, 1.4, somewhere in that neighborhood. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of Christians. I think there's a lot of people that are in that number. That's as far as they've gotten. There is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. I don't want to go to hell, so I go to church. But at some point, you got to know Him as Lord. You see, here's what God was saying when He created the family here. Is He was saying, knowing me as Creator was okay for you, Adam, because it was just me and you. But I realized it wasn't going to work with just me and you. We're going to have to put some other people in the equation here. Then in order for you to really have a relationship with me, because there's going to be somebody else here now. Are you with me? I'm adding somebody else. If you want, in order for me to have a relationship with you, I'm going to have to be the Lord of your life. So I'm no longer Elohim, just God, a Creator. I am Lord. I am the Lord God. I am the Creator God, and I'm also Yahweh, the Lord. So when God instituted the family, He said, you've got to have more than religion. Oh, I know there is a God. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. I don't want to go to hell, so I go to church. That's religion. If I do this right and do that right and don't do this and don't do that, I go to heaven. That's religion. What we're saying here this morning and what I want to convey to you before I let you go this morning is, if you want revival in your family, you got to have more than religion. You've got to have relationship with Jesus Christ.
He has to be more than just a fire escape to keep you from going to hell. He has to be more than a list of rules and regulations. You have to have a relationship with Him. Amen. Why is it, Pastor? Because Satan is real. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is a good devil. Don't fall out with me theologically. He's good at what he does. He's been doing it from the foundation of the world. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to trip you up. He knows how to mess you up. And I want to tell you something. He wants your family. I don't care how old your children are. He wants your grown children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants those grandchildren and great-grandchildren who haven't been born yet. He wants them. He wants you. He wants your family. He wants you to be wrapped up in religion and go to church. He wants you to get wrapped up in religion and go to church so you don't have to pray every day. So that you can go do whatever you want to on Sunday with no second thought of anything else. You can just hit the roads, Jack, and do whatever you want. Bop into church when you want to because God's real. Are you following me? I don't have to keep doing that, do I? Levi, after I teach Levi something about 5 or 6 times, he says, Daddy, I got it. I can just hear him as I go through this again. See, Daddy, they got it. You've got what I'm talking about here. No, because I have relationship, I want to spend time with Him. No, because I have relationship, I want to worship in the fellowship of believers. No, because I have relationship, I want to know Him and be with Him. Your family will go to pot if all you've got's religion. You'll lose your daughters and your sons if all you've got religion. You'll lose your grandchildren and grandchildren if all you've got's religion. Religion won't keep them. Religion won't sustain them because religion is empty and dry. You'll lose them. And let me tell you something. It won't be the church's fault. It doesn't start here. It starts in your house. It doesn't start here. It starts with your prayer life. It doesn't start with who your pastor is. It starts with your personal prayer life. Watch out, boys. It's about you. When your children and grandchildren go to hell, it's not the church's fault. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the leadership's fault. It's not the worship team's fault. It is your fault. It's tight, but it's right. You might not like it, but when you pray in your house, your children have a move of God that's genuine, and they go to heaven because you've got relationship with God, not just empty religion that tells them, oh, if you've got tobacco, you're going to hell. Show that to me in the Bible. Come on, we're sending people to hell all day long over rules and regulations, over preferences and what people have preached from their opinions from the pulpit. Show some things to me. Show some things to me. God, show some things to me. Let me see some things. We send people to hell based on religion, not relationship. I hope to God we're taping this. I do, because I don't want anybody to come back and say he said something he didn't say. I know what I said. Are we taping this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. CDs are available for free, as Russell says. Hallelujah. He's praising the Lord. Russell's like, CDs are available for free. Anybody who wants them. They're on me today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yahweh. He is the Lord our God. I love Him so much. I've got to serve Him. Satan, in essence, is saying, keep your religion, but abandon your relationship with God. Abandon the fact that God has authority over you. When Adam and Eve fell, sin destroyed their relationship with God and each other, and the family fractured. Family unit was fractured. The only thing that brings the family back together is a relationship with God. Now, I know as I'm preaching this, not everybody's got a family. Some people go home alone. We got single moms in this house. They go home with kids. We got people who have spouses that aren't saved. I know this. We've got ladies who come to church, their husband's not saved, and I'm telling them their husband has to leave the house, and they feel devastated. Don't feel devastated. You serve God, God will bring a revival to you. When your husband won't step up and do what he needs to do, God gives you an anointing to step up and do what you need to do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Amen. God's going to give you the anointing you need to be the man or woman of God He wants you to be. The family is the place where revival takes place. The family is the indicator of whether my children get saved or not. I was blessed this week. I went to prayer conference. Thank you for sending me, allowing me to go. Don't get to go every year. Funds aren't always available, but it was available. We went this year. It was wonderful. Thank you. Great enrichment for me. I appreciate it very much. But the thing I appreciated most was not what I got. I sent Levi to kids' prayer conference. It's another building. It's like kids' church, but it's their focus. First night, I was surprised he went. He never leaves us. But he left us. And Lily left us. We didn't know what to do. We're never without children. Tammy thought, I'll take a nap. No, she didn't take a nap in church. She needs a nap. She's needed a nap for 7 years. But anyway, it's a different story. Different story. Levi goes to children's church. He comes back. He's telling me how good it is and all this kind of stuff. The second night he goes back. Hey, he's going. We get on campus. He is going. Get out of his way. He knows the way. He's going. After church, he comes to me and he says, Daddy, he was telling me all about it. I was listening to him. We laid down to go to sleep that night. And he said, Daddy, I cried tonight at church. I said, well, okay. Tell me about it. He says, I don't know what happened to me. I just felt like crying. I wasn't sad. I didn't miss you. I didn't miss Mommy. I didn't even miss Lily. I just started crying. He said, so I did what everybody does at church when they cry. I went to the altar. He says, and I didn't feel like kneeling, so I just stood there and raised my hands. He said, and then I got down on my knees, and I just couldn't stop crying. I started crying and kept crying. He said, somebody asked me what was wrong, and he said, I don't know. He says, and then he said, this is what we do at our church. I don't know. What do you do at yours? Here's a six-year-old boy saying, this is what we do. That's worth everything, folks. When your child has some experience with God, it's worth everything. I can't take credit for that. That's all God doing that in his life. That's all God drawing him. That could be a little bit of a daddy's prayer. Keep him sensitive. Draw him to your side. Don't ever let him remember a time that he doesn't serve you. I pray it every day over his life. I pray it every day over your children's life too, by the way. Because you have to pray like that. It could be a little bit of that, but that's God drawing him. I didn't have nothing to do with that because I didn't make him do it. God drew him. I'll tell you something. That's what it's all about. You know what? I may not be able to give him everything that he wants. Thank God. You don't need a rocket to the moon. But if we can get one thing to our family, a love for God, we've given them absolutely everything. And my challenge to you as pastors, not to bring you in here and beat you up and make you feel worse than you did before you came in. I never want to do that. If you feel bad, you can get it fixed and feel good. You know, if you leave feeling bad, it's because you ain't prayed about it. Because this word will set you free and this word will help you. Maybe you haven't always done the best you could do. Maybe you've served God out of religion. Get in relationship. Husband, maybe you've not led in prayer in your home. Just ask God to forgive you and say, I'm going to lead now. Maybe you don't pray with each other as a family. Maybe you don't have any devotions at home where you read the Bible. Maybe the only time you do Bible stuff and church stuff is at church. But you see the need to do it now. Well, just ask God to forgive you for missing it, not doing it, and pick up and do it now. Learn to pray for your children. They need to hear you pray every now and then. Your children, you want them to feel conviction? Don't jump on them for what they're doing wrong. I'm helping you now. Don't jump on them for what they're doing wrong. Let them wake up in the morning and hear you praying before you go to work. God, touch them, help them, convict their hearts. Let them catch you praying for them one time. It does something, don't it? Let them catch you praying for them when they're laying in bed at night and they're asleep and they're awakened by somebody's hand on their head praying for them. Let that move them instead of just condemning them for what they do wrong, pointing out their wrong. Religion points out what I do wrong. Relationship draws me. I would much rather be drawn than pulled. Hey, amen. Let's pray together. Reveille, if you would come. We're just going to pray very simply. Thank you for staying with me. It's 15 after. It's not.